Good evening, everyone. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. I want you to turn in your Bibles to the book of Hebrews. Last night we set you up. For those of you who are here, got you prepared for where we're going to go tonight and tomorrow. And so that we can be changed. Amen. So that we will never come back this way again. Is that good? So, Father, we thank you for the word as we've already worshiped you and prayed, and we do thank you for the word of God. We ask now for the word of God to be that word that is quick and powerful, sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing, dividing, marrow most, as it is in the Greek. Asunder, spirit, soul, body, joints, marrow, thoughts, intent of the heart. And that the revelatory knowledge of heaven would be in this house. We say right now, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in this house, even as it is in heaven. And we grab hold of that. And so therefore, everything that is in heaven is now accessible to us in this house. So we invite the angelic hosts into this house in the name of Jesus. Amen. That blood that speaketh greater than the blood of Abel, yeah, in this house. Yeah. That covenant that is beyond every other covenant that is established by our Lord and our Savior, your Christ, be accessible to us in this house tonight. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glimpses of the home that we can't wait to get to, that heavenly Jerusalem. Glimpses of it will just dance in our minds and in our hearts tonight. We thank you for that, Lord. Let Zion be sure in this house. Let the faith of God arise like it has never arisen before in our lives. And let those things that have been far off and distant become near unto us tonight in the name of Jesus. We reach out for those things and access them by faith now in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. We bless you for it, sir. We bless you for it, sir. And Father, as we were praying earlier, I saw a myriad of young people standing at this altar, bowing before you, worshiping before you, giving you everything, yes, turning away their life from, yes, the world to you. I saw it. And so, Lord, because I saw it, it is so.
Come on.
In Jesus' name. You wouldn't have shown it if it wasn't so. So, Lord, we've accessed the future.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. And bring it into the now. In Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. Hebrews chapter 9. It's a lot here, but I'm going to try to not get caught up. I did with the intercessors a little bit, but I'm trying not to get caught up tonight and move to where I want to go so that I don't keep you all night. Amen. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 1 says, then verily the first covenant had also ordinances of divine service and a worldly sanctuary. For there was a tabernacle made, the first wherein was the candlestick and the table and the showbread, which is called the sanctuary. And after the second veil, the tabernacle, which is called the holiest of all, which had the golden censer, the ark of the covenant overlaid round about with gold, wherein was the golden pot that had manna and Aaron's rod that budded and the tables of the covenant. And over it, the cherubs of glory shadowing the mercy seat, of which we cannot speak particularly. Now, when these things were accomplished, or ordain, the priest went always into the first tabernacle, accomplishing the service of God. But into the second went the high priest alone, once every year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the errors of the people. Verse 8. It's really interesting. This is verse 8, but let's go. Verse 8, it says, "In the Holy Ghost, this signifying that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest while the first tabernacle was yet standing."
Come on.
I want to stop there for just a moment so you can understand and you know the tabernacle and you've studied the tabernacle. And we understand that the priests every year, all of the priests could do service in that holy place. The ones ordained could do service in that holy place. And so we know they could go in there. But Aaron was the only one that could go in another week or so behind that second veil. Amen. As we know, tomorrow starts Rosh Hashanah, right? And so Aaron once a year goes behind that to now take blood so that the errors of the people, his own errors and the errors of the people, are forgiven for 1 year. That the blood and bosom goats could not satisfy God forever, but could satisfy him for a year. So everything that they had ever done wrong for that 1 year was now gone because somebody represented them before God with blood. But the Holy Ghost was signifying something. This is a serious thing. Because we talked about something last night that's really important for us. The Holy Ghost was saying, as long as that veil is up, there is not access to God.
Right.
Remember, I told you he presented himself unapproachable. Even though he wanted men to approach him.
Right.
Now, That's that dichotomy thing, that oxymoron thing. You want me, but you don't want me? What? No, there was a pattern that was needed to be seen so that we could now live in that place. And so what was happening was this veil is still up. Now, let's fast forward just for a moment. As long as that veil is up, it says the Holy Ghost is signifying that the way into the holy is all was not let made manifest. But now we know because of the one who came. Hello? The one who came and closed out the seventh day. Oh, y'all not going to help me. I see y'all didn't do your homework. You didn't do your homework. They closed out the seventh day and did what? Open up the eighth day when he said it is finished. He closed the seventh, but when he closed the seventh, he also opened the eighth. Therefore, come on. You understand?
Yeah.
So now, come on, old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. This is the day that the Lord has made. Come on. I will rejoice and be again. So when he gets up out of that tomb, there is a whole new race of people that's going to come into existence. There's a whole new language going to come into existence. Isn't it amazing that God sends another language into the earth? Because the language of the earth didn't satisfy him. And I heard y'all talking that language at night. Y'all know that language pretty well around here. That's pretty good. I like that. So here you are, new day, new language, new everything. Up and down. But something significant also happened on that time, right? While he's on the cross and when he gives up the ghost and says it is finished, there's something that happened in the temple. Come on, somebody.
Yes.
Something happens in the temple.
Yes.
The Bible says what? The veil was rent from top to bottom. Not from bottom to top, but from top to bottom, indicating that God was doing it. In essence, we could say that the Holy Ghost was now making manifest.
Right.
That the way into the holiest was now available.
Yes.
Because as long as the veil remained, the Holy Ghost was signifying that the way into the holiest was not yet made manifest. So now when the priests come into the holy place, they are now in the presence of the holy God. There is no separation between priests now. So every priest that can come behind the first veil have access to the Father. We no longer need a high priest in that sense of Aaron, because a high priest have made a way and a provision for us to now get to the Father when we didn't have the ability to get to the Father. Now, as I enter in, I see God.
Yes.
Why? Because the priest, my priest, has now made a way for me to see the Father.
Right. Yeah.
So all that is available from the Father is now available to me.
Amen.
For you are a royal priest.
Amen.
You are a holy nation. You are a peculiar people.
Amen.
To show forth the praises of him who has brought you out of darkness into the light of his kingdom. You are those priests. Matter of fact, when God said, I'm going to have a kingdom of priests, he didn't get them, did he? He actually got a tribe. Why? Because they rejected him. We saw that last night. They rejected his voice. They rejected his commandments. They rejected what he wanted. And so instead of getting a kingdom of priests, which is amazing because God didn't make any distinctions in that. That was interesting too. He didn't say a kingdom of male priests. This is Old Testament too. He says, I'm going to have a kingdom of priests, making us understand that the whole nation of Israel was going to be priests. They all had access. He didn't say, I'm coming down on a mountain and only the men come up. Glory to God, as important as men are in the kingdom. No, he didn't say that. Everybody was going to be. You were birthed in now because of the nation. You're going to be birthed into priesthood. He doesn't get that fulfilled until Christ. Now we are birthed into priesthood.
Right.
Now come on, somebody.
Right.
Come on. Every one of us are born what? Again. And therefore we've been birthed into priesthood. And that's why you must act like a priest.
Amen.
That's what we were dealing with last night, is that you need to be carrying somebody before God on a regular basis. If you're not doing that, see what we just did tonight, even for those who are already priests and our young people who are part of this, we stood for them even though they weren't here. We were intercessors. Are you with me? So I can do that for them, but I don't have to. Why? Because they have access.
Right.
But my neighbor who doesn't know God doesn't have the access, as I showed you last night. So I have to go for them until they can go for themselves.
Right.
So my question in most cases with most believers is, who are you taking before God on a daily basis who can't get there on their own?
Right.
Because that's your job in the earth. Otherwise, God might as well take you on to heaven. Your job is to see the earth changed. Every person on the earth changed. Are y'all not hearing me?
Come on.
That's my job. My neighborhood must be radically changed. Why? I live there. He didn't bring me there so that I can just live comfortably in my home, close my door, and sit on the back porch.
Come on.
Would you call the deck? Cook out and all of that and have fun with my family. No, he sent me there to now take over that community.
Come on.
So you should know every person that lives in your community. Yvonne, you can come up here and sing some more. I think they need some songs. They need some songs. They need some songs. Sing something. I don't know. Come on. Are y'all getting this?
Yes.
Come on. You got to get this. Come on. Every person. You should know them all.
My first name.
One day, it was amazing, too. When I first moved in our community, what they had is this, they have a directory in our community. I don't know if they have them in some of in your. They have a directory, and they tell us who lives where. And I was looking at the directory, and the Lord said, so when are you going to use your directory? I don't need to use a directory. God, I've got the directory. He says, no, you don't know everybody in the directory. He says, I called you to pray for all of them. I did the work for you. I did the work for you. I had somebody else to do the work for you so that all you had to do was read the names off and pray over their homes and their life so that they can be changed. That's all I asked you to do.
Come on.
Let me ask you this question. This is crazy. I'm going to take you even further. How many of y'all got one of these things? Y'all have one of these? Is any contacts in there? You got contacts in your phone? You do? Have you ever sat down and just prayed over the contacts? And would it hurt you just to sit there and start praying over the name? Matter of fact, it'll help you purge some of them. I don't even know who that is. They got to go. Now, are you tracking so far? So the way into the holiest was not yet made manifest while that veil was up. But God rent the veil. The Bible says that it was his flesh that was rent by way of that veil being rent. It was his flesh being rent. It was in symbolic representation of him going through the suffering so that we could get in. But if, now, here's my question to you. And then I'll tell you where we're going tonight. My question to you, if I can get behind the veil, why would I not spend my time there?
Come on.
When I couldn't get behind the veil, hello somebody, it's understandable I can't spend my time there. But when the veil is rent,
come on,
and I have access to the Ark of the Covenant, to the mercy seat, to the manna, to the authority of the rod, through the covenants of God, why not spending my time there?
Come on.
That's right. We got too many other things, right? I want you for a moment, just for a moment. I want you to count. This is going to take some of y'all some time. I want y'all to count the number of screens in your home. Yeah, that was my North Carolina coming out on you. Computer screen.
Oh, okay.
See, that was my North Carolina coming out, wasn't it? Y'all northerners can't hear that language. Everybody in North Carolina knew what I was talking about. Okay, so how many you have in your home? Count them. How many TVs you got? Okay, come on, count. You don't know how to tell me. Just think. I want you thinking here. How many TVs you got? How many computers you have? How many iPads you have? How many phones do you have? Come on. Think. I want you to think. How many of those things is taking away your time and attention? We don't even need them anymore. We got them in mirrors now. You can have a television within the mirror. Are you not helping me? So I can be in the bathroom and look at television inside of the mirror. The refrigerator is the same way. I can have it in the refrigerator. Look at, I don't, come on. Why do I need a TV in the refrigerator? Who's going to stand in front of the refrigerator that long to look at television? They need to go on a fast, don't they, bro? No. I want you to understand this. This is a total, complete strategy of hell.
Yes.
Just exactly right. It comes from the pit.
To remove us from going after the heart of the Father. Because the veil has been rent and I have access. If I can't, watch this. He couldn't stop God from giving us access, but he could stop us from going after it.
Come on.
He couldn't stop the veil from being rent, but he can give you another pathway away from it so that you can be doing something other than pursuing God in that way. So he gives you all of this other stuff. Come on, I'm looking at television. I'm just turning on the TV one day, and on the ESPN, they had these guys playing drone games and come on, y'all, I don't know what. Somebody's gonna win $100,000. It's a team of them. That's all they do is play these video games. But they were gonna win $100,000. Now, how much time were they spending in their life? Come on, somebody. Come on. Are y'all tracking with me?
Too much.
Come on. So hell says I can't get you. If I can't get you with those, you like sports? All right, let's do some fantasy. Yep. Oh man, this is okay. Yep. Okay, yeah, I see, this is how the men were treating me this morning too. They weren't talking to me either. Fantasy football is just a distraction away from the things you're supposed to be doing. So there are people that spend their whole oh my God, they're drafting and oh, praise God. I'm not mad at you. I just don't have time for that foolishness. There's something more in life that I have to pursue. Listen, let me tell you something. I love playing golf. I love playing golf. But I had to put my clubs down. I had to put my clubs down because why? There were books that need to be written.
Come on.
Y'all gotta hear me. There are books that need to be written. There are people's lives that are on the line. And I can't be out trying to be a tour pro when I am an amateur. Come on, somebody.
Come on.
I'm an amateur. I don't need to be trying to be out there every day or every week trying to play to get my score down. For what? For who? They're not paying me to play. I'm paying them to play. Are you getting that?
Yes.
See, the distractions are there, and so I'm in bed one night. It's 3 a.m. I wake up and it's one of those get up and be with me, but I try not to actually. I try to lay there and just let God talk to me on the bed. Y'all don't know nothing about that. So. And so he did. He started talking to me while I was lying on the bed. He said, so is that what you're going to do? Let's do it that way. But it wasn't long before I had to get up. Because the revelation that was coming was burning me so serious that I had to get up and go and now pursue after it.
Right.
If you're going to lay there, let me tell you this. And these were the first words he said to me. I want to tell you why my church isn't advancing. He wasn't talking about the universal church, actually, yet he was, but he was talking about my church. He was talking about the individual, because we've been talking about this eighth day thing. We've been all of that. We were in there, man. We had seen the veil rent. We were living behind it. He says, with all of that, I'm going to tell you why they're not advancing. And I said, why? Oh, my goodness. And so I'm laying there. I said, no, you got to get up for this one. So I get up and go down to my office, and before I get there, almost he started speaking to me. He says, now go right to Hebrews chapter 4. He says, you know that the veil is rent. You know you have access. So why aren't you living in this place? And he says, go to Hebrews chapter 4. And I went to Hebrews chapter 4, and I said, I know what's there, but do I know what's there? Anybody know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Come on. I know what's there, but do I know what's there? And I realized, no, I didn't know it was there. I thought I knew it was there. Look what it says. It says, let us therefore fear. Did you hear that? What did we talk about last night? Fear of the Lord. Believe me, this word right here is not reverence. It's the word we get phobia from. When you look it up in Greek, it's the word we get phobia from. And it's interesting in this verse, when you look it up on blueletterbible.org, blueletterbible.org. When you look up this verse, what you find out, there are, and the writers here didn't do it, but there are three times in this one verse that the word phobia is used. So he's telling you to be afraid of him three times in this one verse. But the writers, the translators didn't translate it that way. But when you look up blueletterbible.org, it shows you that it's phobia, phobia, phobia. Phobo, phobo. Because he says, I want you to be afraid, really afraid. Afraid of what, Lord? He says, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest. Let's get to this. Any of you should seem to come short of it. Oh, wow, 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 wow. What he said was this. Now, let me give you my example. Let me give you my example. My wife is a fashionable lady. She loves fashion. She does. She's all into fashion and all that kind of stuff. Sell clothes, sells jewelry, entrepreneur and all that good stuff. But if my wife would come to church raggedy, shoes turned over, heels broken, looking any kind of way, hair not like it should, and all of that. And I come to church and I got a Brioni suit on. Anybody understand what Brioni is? Okay, that's about $4,000. Come on. I got a Brioni, gator shoes.
Come on, come on.
Come on. A Brioni tie, which is about a $250, $300 tie. Come on, come on. European cotton, super 100 cotton shirt on that make it feel like you don't even have it on you. Cufflinks worth at least $150, $200. And my wife looked like she looked. Somebody going to want to understand why are you
looking, so good.
Looking like that and your wife look like she's homeless.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Come on, come on. Now, what you might not know is that I've bought her every kind of name brand dress that you could buy, every kind of shoe. She got red bottoms at the house in every style. Hello, somebody. She got jewelry that has come from overseas. I got her nice. Everything she needs, she could look as nice as I'm looking. But she chooses.
Yeah. Right. Right.
To look like she's looking. It would seem.
Yeah.
As though I don't take care of her. Therefore, making me look bad. God said, you better fear me if you make it seem like I can't take care of you. You don't have to fear them. You got to fear me. Because you're making me look bad.
Wow. That's really good.
When you're not living in the rest of God.
Yeah.
Oh, come on, somebody. When you're living in anxiety and worry and frustrations and all of these things that can come, you are saying that God does not have the ability to take care of you. And God says, you better be afraid of me. You is not the people, is not no other devil you got to deal with.
Come on.
You got to deal with me.
Right.
And that's not going to be a good day in your life.
Right.
How many of us make God look like he's not God?
Right.
Lay it on us.
By what? Complaining. Negative attitude. Don't know how I'm going to make it. Every time we seem to try to get ahead, something else comes up. Heaven is getting fiercely angry at you at every word that come out of your mouth that does not represent faith. I think I'm ahead of y'all a little bit.
Come on.
That veil was not rent so that you could stay on the other side of it. The veil was rent so you could live beyond the veil, and everything beyond the veil is accessible to you. And therefore, you got to act like it, think like it, move like it. Come on. He says the reason why they are not functioning behind the veil, what you taught them, they're not resting. They aren't resting. And he says they can't even have faith unless they rest.
Come on.
I'm going to show it to you. Are y'all good? Y'all good?
Yeah.
Are y'all good? Look. He says, man of God, he says, for unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preach did not profit them, not being mixed with what? Faith in them that heard it.
Right. Correct. Right.
He says, why? He said, for we which have believed do enter into rest. As he said, also I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. Now tomorrow I'm going to hopefully, in the name of Jesus, hallelujah, be able to take you into that piece a little bit more. I'm not going to go that deep into the night, but I want you to get this. What you've got to deal with is that everything about where you're going has already been mapped out and finished.
Amen. Yes.
That's difficult for us to grasp because we're living every moment, every day. But you got to listen. So look, for a way of understanding, God isn't in time.
Right.
And what you also got to get is that eternity is not a lot of time. Exactly. Come on, did you get that? No, eternity is not a lot of time. Come on, eternity is the absence of time. So everything about you is already done. That's why he says, I am the beginning. I am the end.
Right.
Come on. I am the first. I am the last. Why? Because I'm not in time.
Yeah. Right.
And because we have to maneuver through time, we think that, hey, well, you know, I'm only getting to it now. God says, oh, no, we've already been here.
Right.
You have to deal with your life as though it is finished. Oh, no, you ain't hear me. Oh, my Father. I'm walking to the end. By the way, last night when we walked through that those seven things at Mount Sinai, notice all of those dealt with your five senses. Those seven things deal with every one of your senses. But nothing from Zion deals with your five senses. Everything from Zion is beyond your five senses. Why? Because it's the eternal realm.
Come on.
Everything in Zion is eternal. So God has brought you out of your natural into your spiritual so you can walk thereby.
Yeah.
Man.
Come on.
And so since we don't have an eternal view, we have an earthly view, we're not dealing with God from the place where God is. We really want God to come into our domain and function amongst us, but we don't want to go where he is.
Right.
Listen. When the disciples get a hint of who this guy really is, now they've been around him, man. They've seen his stuff. They've been around. They've seen him do the miracles. They've seen him do all that stuff. But they didn't really get it yet. They didn't get it yet, man. Until he's in that boat and that storm comes up and he's in the back of that boat asleep. And they say to him, Lord, careth not
right.
that we perish. So So my question to you is this. What did they actually want him to do? What did they want him to do? He had never done what he was about to do. They had no idea he could do what he was about to do. So what did they want him to do? Want him to wake up. What else? Freak out? No, they knew he wasn't going to freak. No, they wanted him to do something else. They wanted him to help them bail water. That's what they wanted him to do. They wanted him, Jesus, get up and help us bail this water out here. They wanted him to come into their world. Because no way they had any idea that he could do what he was about to do. And when he says, peace, be still. And the wind and the waves, the Bible says, they stepped back like, no, who in the world? No. No. We're fishermen. We've been out here a long time now. Wait a minute now. We've seen him do a lot of stuff, but I don't know who that is right there. Who has that ability? I was reading that one day, and the Lord said, you know why the wind and the waves stopped? I said, no. He said, they hadn't heard my voice since I said come into existence. I said, my goodness. But they got afraid, didn't they? Fear came. Who in the world is this? God is not coming into your world to bail water.
Come on, Bishop.
And we constantly are calling him into our world to bail our water.
Come on.
Is that right? God, won't you help me? When are you going to come and get me out of this? Come, God. God, won't you just help me? God, I don't know what to do. Can you help? God, get me out of this. He says, now, when are you going to ask me to do something beyond what you can already do yourself? Because guess what? We usually can get out of most problems in the earth ourselves if we think about it long enough. You don't ask him to do anything beyond what you can already do. Because it's not an eternal view. When we start thinking eternally, we'll start saying, do this, God, do something way beyond what I have the ability to do. Way beyond what I know to do. Do the supernatural, because I'm a supernatural being. I don't know, man. Look, this is good stuff right here. Because God says, listen, I want you to function in this place of rest. I want you to be restful. He says, I don't want you worried. I don't want a day of worry in your life.
It's a sin. Disobedience.
Isn't that amazing? And think about how much Christians worry.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and we pray. We pray worry. Yeah, we pray worry. Don't we pray worry? Like he can't, oh God, I don't know what to do, Lord, please, Jesus. He says, you should fear me. You should talking to me that way. You should fear me. I might break out on you, making me look that bad. He said, no, that ain't my God. The Bible says he's a consuming fire. Those are the kind of scriptures we won't talk about no more. He's a consuming fire. Again, Paul says, we persuade men because we know the terror of the Lord. We don't talk about those kind of scriptures. Because we need to make everybody think he's a teddy bear God. And a slot machine God. That anything that we need is always there whenever we need it because he's so good. Isn't he good? He's a good, good father. That's who he is. Amen? He is that. But he's nothing to play with either. And that's the part that we've lost. When we get that back, man, something's going to shake. Something's going to shake in the nation. It's just the nation going to shake because we got that reverence back. Now, I'm going to show you something. We're going to jump down. I'm very conscious on time and all that. I ain't keeping you all night. But I want you to get something. I want you to jump down because when I got this, it was like, oh, my goodness, this is going to be mine forever. You know what? You know what? I'm not going to jump. Verse 4. I'm going to go. I need this. For he spake in a certain place of what? I can't hear you. Hebrews 4, verse 4 says what? He spoke what? Of a what? On the seventh day, on what? On this wise. And God did rest the seventh day from all his works. Isn't that awesome? Isn't that awesome? And in this place again, if they shall enter my rest. Yes. Now, this is what I want you to understand. I'm telling you there's an eighth day, right? I'm telling you there's an eighth day. The writer of Hebrews now takes this seventh day rest to compare it to the rest that you now supposed to come in the eighth day. Because there is a new rest to the people of God. It is what? That's the problem with the Adventists. The Adventists are still following the seventh day rest. They don't know it's an eighth day rest. So they're thinking that they still have to worship on Saturday. Come on, somebody. And I ain't mad at them. They love Jesus. But they still worshiping on Saturday because of this seventh day. They don't know a new day has come. And the day that they come into was just, didn't I tell you last night that the seventh day was never to be closed? Because you were going to live in that rest forever until it was contaminated? God made a new day of rest. He showed you that in the Feast of Tabernacles. So that there's a seventh day and an eighth day rest. And so once what? There can be no sin in the eighth day. There's no possible way there's sin in the eighth day. Because sin has been defeated. Which is the only reason you could repent in it. And be cleansed like you didn't do anything. Which totally messed hell up. Hell hates the fact that we can repent.
Right.
Come on. But it makes Christians dangerous that they can.
Right.
Because I can treat you any kind of way. Just repent. But Paul then says what in Romans chapter 6? He says, shall we continue what? In sin that grace may abound, God forbid. How can they that are dead to sin live any longer therein?
Right.
Come on. That's why he deals with that. Because guess what? Man, this is a good deal. I can do wrong, repent, and keep going. Do wrong again. Repent, keep going. Let me tell you how God showed me repentance one day. This is so serious, man. When you really understand grace and repentance, it almost seems as though it gives you a license to sin. You ain't gonna help me. That's why Paul had to write that. That's why that's written. That's why Romans 6 and 7 is written. So you won't go there and do that, live that life. But God showed me repentance one day. He showed me it during the Olympics years ago, the Olympics. And this young lady got on the floor exercise. You can do the floor exercise. And they announce, you know, they walk on in there with their pointed toes and all that stuff. They be doing all that stuff. And the guy announced that this exercise is worth 9.79. And I went, 9.79? She haven't even started yet. And I said, no, she won a 10. But the difficulty based on what was in her exercise, because they knew what she was going to do, was only worth a 9.79. The highest score she could get was a 9.79. When she stepped on the mat, she had a 9.79. She didn't step on the mat to try to get up from 0 to 9.79. When she stepped on the mat, that's what that routine is worth. She got a 9.79.
when she goes through the routine, if she make a mistake, they deduct points from 9.79. See, now some of y'all didn't even know it worked that way, did you? That's the way it works. So now, every mistake, she's deducted. So at the end, they said 9.25. So she lost points from 9.79 down to 9.25 based on the mistakes that the judges saw that she made.
Right.
I didn't see any mistakes. I thought it was perfect myself. Come on, are you understand? Okay, so they knew what to look for, and they gave her the points. And I'm looking at that, and I'm going, wow, that's interesting. Man, I didn't know that was the way it went. I really didn't until that point. And the Lord says, as she's doing her exercise, he says, that's how repentance works. I went, wait a minute. That's how repentance works. What do you mean? He says, every time you repent, I bring you back to 9.79.
Come on.
You ain't hearing me. So if you make a mistake in the routine, all you got to do is say, Lord, forgive me. He said 9.79.
Come on.
Every time you flip wrong and do the wrong thing and you say, God, forgive me. He says 9.79. So that you can get off of the floor exercise with the amount that you had when you got on the exercise. Glory to God. Just by saying to God, I repent.
Yes.
Hell hates that.
Come on.
Hell hates the fact that he brings me back to my top score. What if I told you your life already have a score that's connected to it? And I got to stand before him and see if I made. It's called the judgment seat of Christ. Hello, somebody. Did I get my score, Lord? Yeah, I got it based on my repentance, not based on my accuracy.
Come on. Come on.
It's my repentance, not my accuracy. Not the fact that I haven't done anything wrong or do anything wrong or have any problems in my life. No, I know how to repent. Hallelujah. Because repentance brings me back to the rest.
Come on.
And if I'm in the rest, now I'm functioning in faith.
Yeah.
I never have to shrink away from God. All I have to do is repent. See, come on. Why? If I'm moving away from God, it's because I think that he's mad with me. And many believers even think that God's mad with me because I did something wrong. Repent.
Yeah.
The first message that John brings, the first message that Jesus brings is what? Repent. For the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Oh my God, it hadn't even got here yet, and he had already given you the gift of repentance.
Come on.
The kingdom hadn't gotten here yet, and he gave repentance first. Again, not so that we can sin to repent. No, now it's repentance so I can move to another level, a higher level. I'm repenting so I can get back. There's nothing in between you and I now. I'm back to my place. I'm back to my place, and I'm functioning. I'm going to move from that place. Oh, you did wrong yesterday. No, I didn't.
Come on.
Come on. No, I didn't. I didn't do anything wrong. Yes, you did. No, I didn't. Prove it.
Yeah.
I can't even bring it back up to God. I bring it back up and he says, I don't know what you're talking about.
Right.
You've never done that ever. See, yeah, Lord, you know, yesterday when I talked to that later on. No, you didn't. That sounds like freedom to me. Am I talking to the right people tonight?
Come on.
Again, I'm getting you ready for an explosion, I hope, tomorrow.
Amen.
But I want you to understand, you've got to find this place of rest. You got to fight your soul. Everything in you doesn't want to yield itself to the rest of the Lord. Everything in you wants to be anxious. Everything in you want to have the wrong type of fear. Everything in you want to do everything other than rest in God. You have to take this place by force. By force. By force. So I was, I was understanding a lot of this stuff a while ago, and God was bringing some things to me. And we had a situation with my automobile, one of my automobiles, actually my wife's automobile, she was driving, and we took it to the shop. And the Lord told me something. He said, don't ever let dead presidents cause you to worry. Oh, y'all didn't get that yet. That's gonna be around Wednesday. Around Wednesday, you go, oh, yeah. Dead presidents. Where are dead presidents found? Thank you. There you go. Never let dead presidents cause you to worry. They're dead. Then he said this to me, and the prayer line people knows this. Watch this. Never let anything that doesn't have a will affect you who have one. If it doesn't have a will, how can it control you? But we will allow it to. So, car messed up. Take it to the shop. The man tells us what's possibly wrong with it. I said, tell him fix it. Get it fixed. So, we're at home. Day or so later, he calls us and tells us what's actually wrong with the car and what we need. He said, okay. okay, I'll call you back. Well, in the meantime, I call him back. My wife calls him back and says, okay, do the work for what you told us. How much will it be? He gave us a price. He calls us the next day and says, the car is ready. We go to pick up the car. We're standing there at the counter, and we look at the bill, and it was, that's not the price you told us over the phone. He said, yeah, what happened was when we were fixing the car, we found another thing wrong with it. So we got that part as well and put it on the car. And that boosts the bill up. Well, now there's steam coming out of the back of my wife's neck. Y'all don't know about this here. I'm standing there, man of God. I'm standing there, I'm looking, and I see this steam start rising. And she said, but that's not what you told me. That's not how much you told me it was going to be. And we never told you to do that. And she's getting lathered, man. She's getting lathered. And I'm standing there, and the wisdom of God comes to me. The wisdom of God comes to me and says these words to me. Make sure she understands that you understand what she's saying to this man. Because if you don't make her understand you understand what she's saying, you're going to become part of the problem. That was the wisdom of God, man. God came all in there, man. I didn't want to become a part of this problem. So I said, bro, let me say this to you. This is what she's trying to let you understand. You didn't give us the right of refusal. You never called us back to tell us there was an additional part needed. Therefore, we could have told you yay or nay. You did it without asking us. Therefore, increasing our bill, and we weren't coming here prepared to pay that amount, but it's okay. I said, honey, pay it. She said, no, it ain't right. I said, I know, I understand. Pay it.
The right thing to do.
So I leave. I says, you good? Yeah, but it ain't fair. I know, I understand. Just pay it. I get in my car and I leave. And I call her back. I said, are you okay? She said, I'm okay, but it ain't fair. I'm going to call the Better Business Bureau. I'm going. She was steaming, man. But I won't part of the problem. Praise God. Hallelujah. I ain't care. I don't care. I don't care about you being mad at them, as long as you're not mad at me. You can be mad at anybody, as long as you're not mad at me. When I would walk into the house, man, and I see a look on her face, I said, now, what's wrong? She says, those children, thank Jesus, I'll kill every one of them for you. Long as you're not mad at me. I don't care about those kids. This is self-preservation here. So I said, don't worry about it. I said, the reason why you don't worry about it, honey, is because we don't let dead presidents control us. Not a thing that doesn't have a will have the right to move me. And as long as I take that mindset, God will take care of me. She says, I know that, but it still ain't right. So I had to walk her through it for a couple of days too. I'm just telling you, when you get that, you learn the rest of God. See, that thing was trying to bring me out of the rest. That thing was trying to affect my household,
right,
to bring us out of the rest. Somebody had to keep a cool head, even though everything she said was right. Everything he did was wrong. I don't care. I got to stay cool because I'm not going
to
let you move me. Come on, because the rest is too important. If I don't have the rest, I can't get into faith. I can't get into faith out of worry and frustration and anxiety. I can't get into faith there. Come on, anybody know what I'm talking about? When you're in worry and frustration and anxiety, you can't get to rest and you can't get to faith. Come on. And so I said, no, we're good. We're good. We are good, girl. I got you. And it wasn't long. God gave us the money back, gave all that. I knew that was going to happen. That was not even an issue. Not an issue. But hell was after us. Using somebody else's inconsideration. So now give me, now how often does that happen to you? You think that I'm going to tell you about living in the rest and you ain't going to get no trials?
Would you take your car back again?
No. No, I won't take my car back because my wife won't let me. She said, we're not using them anymore. That's fine. We found a better one, praise God. We did. We found a better person, even cheaper and all of that, with integrity.
Right.
You see? But it all because I didn't get moved. You can't let. See, when Jesus cursed the fig tree, for instance, I want you to get that. When he cursed the fig tree, that was easy. The tree doesn't have a will. If a thing doesn't have a will, it can't say no. If money doesn't have a will, it can't say no when I tell it to come to me.
Right.
Oh, y'all ain't get that. I'll just leave that alone. I can tell the money to do what I want it to do. Money has no ability to control me. I haven't taken you where I want to take you yet. See, when I got down here, let me show you. It says in verse 11, it says labor Let us therefore labor, therefore to enter into the rest. He says, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. Now, the Bible says, as you pray in the Holy Ghost, you build yourself up on your most holy faith. When was the last time you prayed in the Holy Ghost for an hour? To build up your faith. When was the last time you realized that I need to build my faith up before I see the problem? I don't want to be reacting to problems. I want to be proactive. Come on. Right. I want to be out in front of the problem. So I need to build my faith up before I even see the problem.
Right.
Come on. So I'm walking around and I'm speaking in the language that God gave me. So my faith is built up before I ever need it.
Right. So that's good. Amen.
Come on. Yeah. See, again, you know what? Let me show you something. You know, I found out, and you know, Patty tell everything on you. You know how that, Patty tell on you. You go away, get away with God. From Thursday, a couple of days, right? If, listen to me. I want you to get this. I want you to get this. This is serious, right, what I'm about to tell you, man. It's about to be turbulence in the room, so buckle your seatbelts, please. And please, no one get up to go to the bathroom at this time. I'd be a little turbulence, okay? Y'all okay? Okay, please stay seated. God is going to use his life to judge yours. God is not going to require him to do something that he's not requiring of you. If he's answered the call, you also must. You can't hear about him doing something like that and think it's for him, because then you're treating him like the paid professional and you are part of the Sinai pattern. But what he has done is heard God and walked through a door that everybody else is supposed to walk through with him. And God will say, didn't I put someone in front of you or gave you the example of a life that you could follow? Then why didn't you?
Come on.
See, that's why everybody might not come to this church, because they won't fit this church.
Right.
But there are folk out there looking for this church that fit this church, that don't fit the church they're in, because they're not the level of commitment in the church they're in, but they're just in a holding pattern.
Uh-huh. Right.
They're trying to find this place because they want this level of commitment.
Yes.
Are you with me? And so when you got to realize, if you're here, you're here because you match this. You've got the same stuff. God said, no, you got the same stuff. That's why I brought you around this guy. And that's the deal. What people don't understand, if you get around a leader that is seeking and pressing after God, it is not for you to be casual.
Come on.
Amen.
Come on.
That's the rest that, again, everybody then enters in. So he's finding stuff and getting stuff from God that he's trying to bring back to you. But you're supposed to be getting it with him. Coming and telling him, man, let me tell you what God told me. Yeah, you're right on track. You're in the right place. Bishop Wellington Boone would tell me this all the time. He's my father in the Lord. I told you about that. He's my father in the Lord. He would tell me, man, I'm going to go get away from the weekend. I say to him, can I go? He said, no, Jackson, I got to go get away by myself. That's okay, no problem. And I tell my wife, I said, honey, I'm going to the church. She said, where are you going to the church? I said, Bishop is going to shut in at a hotel. I'm going to shut in at the church while he's at the hotel. Even though he won't let me go with him,
come on.
I'm going to go after God myself. Because I'm not going to let him get nothing. Are y'all hearing me? He'll tell you that right now. He'll tell you that right now. If he's going after, I ain't letting you get that by yourself, bro. No, you're opening up pathways for my life. I'm not letting you have that alone. I'm going to get me some of that. Some of that belong to me.
Come on.
Why? Because you're opening up a way for me.
Come on.
Labor to enter in. Fight to get in there. Don't be casual. Are you getting that?
Come on.
You getting that? I'm telling you, you could go a lifetime almost and not hear anybody tell you what I just told you. Because in the church world, we will allow the professionals and leaders to do that thing, and no one will tell us that, oh no, God's gonna use them. They're your barometer. They're your barometer. God's gonna say, look at this life. Were you following it? Were you going after God the same way? Were you after me the way he was after me? She was after me. Did you follow him? Did you follow her?
Come on, Bishop.
Paul said, follow me as.
That's my life first.
Follow me as I follow Christ. Goodness gracious. So as I'm going, come with me. I'm not doing it so that I can be the great and mighty man of God. I'm doing it so you can have a way. Paul even said, he says, we have suffered things so that you don't have to. We go through hell so that we can cut a pathway for you so you don't have to go through the same hell.
Come on, Bishop. Come on, Bishop.
We take the machete knife and cut the weeds away so that you don't have to cut them away. You can just enter into what I've already done.
Come on, Bishop.
I'm bruised. I'm scarred.
Come on, Bishop.
But you don't have to be bruised and scarred. Just follow my path. Just follow my path.
Come on, Bishop.
Follow my path.
Come on, Bishop.
What did that church look like? What did that church look like? See, again, what he said about the young people not being here. And, oh, I feel him, man. I feel him. Look, let me tell you something. I tell our church all the time. I said, if you had a party at your house and you invited me, you want me to show up. Because you know why? You've already thought about how I'm going to react at the party. You've already seen me enjoying myself. When I don't come, you're disappointed because your vision don't come to pass. I said, but people don't come to church all the time, not knowing that I've already set a table for them. And I've already seen what's going to happen for them. And they don't even come. They don't know how disappointing it is to my heart. And they don't care. But God does.
Amen.
I'm talking to somebody. I'm almost finished. You have to fight to get in this. And in this culture, you got to fight even greater. Because of what we've already talked about. There are too many distractions, too many things there. Too many things.
Come on.
See, what we realize now after this morning, I'm believing this, and I got one last scripture, and I'm telling you, and I'm going home. But I want to tell you this. I believe that on Fridays when prayer happens, that there's going to be more men here than women. Thank you for the one man, amen, back there. Thank you, appreciate that. I think I received that one, amen. Glory to God. I think it's going to be more men. Why? Because why? We understand something. We got something today.
Yeah.
We understood the level of commitment. We understood what it will take to get to the next level.
Yeah.
And you can't get there soft.
Right. Right.
And that's the thing. Endure hardness.
Yeah.
As a soldier. You got to go through. You don't get into this rest just because it just ain't going to be over you like a blanket. He said the kingdom of God suffered violence.
Right.
But the violent take it by force. Who are the forceful ones taking it? Come on. Come on. That's right. We got to take it. We cannot allow this world to keep taking what belonged to us and acting like we can't do nothing about it. And we say we know the living God. Amen.
Come on.
Now, so the last verse there, watch. He says that the word of God is what? Sharp. It's quick first, right?
Living.
It's living. It's living. It's quick, right? Sharper than what? Two-edged sword, piercing to where? Dividing of sunder of what? It always bothered me that he said soul first. But that's the part that need to be dealt with first. It's your mind, will, and your emotion that need to be dealt with first. It's not your spirit that needs to be dealt with first. It's your mind, will, and your emotions. It's your determinations and your will that have been set against God. Come on, that you've got to be using this word skillfully to cut away all of the stuff that would keep you from fully functioning and fully serving God. All of us got stuff. I got plenty of it. Ask my wife. But why? I try to use the word to fix it.
That's right.
Look, watch this now. So in order to do this, I can't even, I got so much to tell you. Oh, God, help me. In order to do this, you've got to meditate these scriptures to change the programming. Romans 12, 1 and 2. Come on, I beseech you therefore, brother, by the mercies of God, that you present yourself, come on, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye, how? How you gonna do it? Now, I got a book out on that table, and I'm not trying to promote book necessarily, but I got a book on it, One Degree of Change. The One Degree of Change book was written so that you would learn how to use the scripture to get to the place you need to be. Most Christians, at best, that I find, are at 211 degrees in their life. A level of hotness, but not boiling. You don't boil until you get to 212. That 1 degree... it's a barrier that you got to fight through. You don't just get through that barrier easy. You got to fight through that 1 degree barrier. And for most of us, we're satisfied with the 211 degree life. Because why? Everything seems to be working in that life. Oh, man, my family's great. Oh, man, I got a nice position, job. Man, things are going. We got money in the bank account. We're okay. You're not balling. The rich young ruler was at 211. Jesus says, let's go to 212. He said, No. The Bible says he went away sorrowful. Because 212 means you got to lose everything. How you do this? I told the intercessors, you have to meditate the scriptures. He told me something last night that was awesome that he did with the youth, young people. He got them to get scriptures every week and learn them and meditate, memorize them. And that's part of it. And you got to muse, because watch, meditation for us is filling ourselves, not emptying ourselves. Meditation for the world is to empty themselves so that something can come in. You don't want what they want in to come in. Come on, hello somebody. Come on, we fill ourselves. So we fill ourselves using the word. And I will go over this even greater tomorrow on you. But I take the word of God and I muse over it. And I began to tell myself this word. So I just walk around sometimes. Paul is an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. To the saints which are at Ephesus. To the faithful. Faithful in Christ Jesus. Faithful in Christ. You're talking about me. That's faithfulness. The faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace be to you. That's me. I got grace. Grace be to me. And peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I should be walking this shalom all the time. I'm just walking in the blessedness of God all the time. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ who has blessed us with all. My God, all. Spiritual blessings. In heavenly places. Oh my God, where are these heavenly places? I just finished praying. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. On earth, even as it is. So that means wherever I am, heaven is.
Yeah.
No, did you hear? Y'all ain't hear me. So the blessings of heaven are wherever I am. When he says, so blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ who has blessed us with all, or blessed me with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Where I am is heavenly places. Do you understand that I am called an ambassador?
That's it.
No, anybody, you understand? We're ambassadors for the Lord. My Lord, and we walk around in our embassies.
Come on.
Come on. My embassy, I take my embassy from place to place. I'm an ambassador, and the embassy go everywhere I go, praise God. So everywhere I find myself, the embassy of God is there, and an ambassador is indwelling it. Hello, somebody. And every place where an embassy is sovereign territory of that country. And so therefore, my embassy in Russia, of the United States, if I can get on there, I am in the United States of America as much as I am at the White House, glory to God, and can't nobody come on that land and get me because it's an act of war to come on there and take me out of my country.
Come on.
And so, wait a minute, the ambassador can't even go to jail.
Come on.
He had what? Diplomatic immunity. There are Marines stationed at every embassy. You got angels.
Come on.
Because you're an embassy.
Yes.
Every embassy must have protection because of the ambassador on the inside.
Yes.
You gotta get this with me. And when I change my mentality to understand who I am, and I walk around on this earth that way, everything now aligns with me.
Come on.
I'm not hoping it works. It has to work.
Yes.
It has to work, or it doesn't work in heaven.
Come on.
If it doesn't work here, it don't work in heaven. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. On earth as it is.
Come on.
In heaven. If it's working in heaven, yeah. It's working right here.
Come on.
It's working right here. Am I talking to the right people?
Yes.
So the divine blessings of heaven are on me. Why? Because I muse over the word. The reason why I muse over the word, because everybody in heaven, that's everything, that's all they do. It's all about the word of God, because Jesus is the word of God. So the whole heavens are full with the light of the word of God. So when I'm trying to make sure that in this darkness, light will shine. And what I'm doing, I'm speaking it out of my mouth. I'm musing over it. I'm meditating on it. I'm filling myself with it rather than emptying myself. In every area where you have a need, all you got to do is fill yourself with the word and you will become what you fill yourself with. Amen. Listen to me close, and I'm... Every day and talk about money matters.
Right.
Anybody remember Larry Burkett back in the day? And okay, he's passed away, bless the Lord, wouldn't come back here if he could. But watch this. I'm driving my car, this years ago, and I'm listening to Larry, and he was talking about money, and the Lord asked me a question. He says, you think Larry's rich? I said, I know he's rich. He says, how did he get rich? I said, well, he probably made good investments and all that. This is how the Lord talked to me in my car. Now, the Lord talked to me in my car like that. I don't know about your car, but he think he belongs in my car. I don't know. Whenever you're trying to find him, just say, could you come out of Bishop Jackson's car for a moment and talk to me? That's usually where he is. I just want to let you know where he is. If you can't find him, just say that. Just say that. I know you're at Bishop Jackson's car somewhere, Lord, but could you come by here? Kumbaya. Okay. I know. I need help. I do. I need help. But watch this. This is it. I said, yeah, he may have done great investments. He said, no, that had nothing to do with it. He said, Larry Burkett knows every scripture in the Bible related to money. The scriptures are producing after its kind. Amen. I, at that moment, knew that no longer did I have to ever be broke or in lack. All I had to do was muse and put the scriptures in me. I didn't even have to want the money. It has to find me.
Come on.
Because the word cannot return. See how we use those scriptures and then don't use those scriptures. When somebody gets sick and they're in the hospital, what do you do? What do you try to do? Take them what? Healing scriptures. You know when you need to heal in scriptures? Before you get sick.
Yes, amen.
You need to heal in scriptures way before you get sick. Now, and I ain't mad at you that you took them in there, and you should, praise God. But I'm telling you, start doing the healing scriptures now, and don't worry about no sickness.
Amen.
So tonight, last night I want you to understand there's a day. Tonight, I want you to understand there's a rest in that day that produces faith unlike anything you've ever seen. So when he says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Oh, my God, they can't see them, but we can. Because we're in that day where the stuff is. So that tomorrow I can take you to the restoration of all things. Are you with me?
Amen.
Father, I thank you so much for this, your people. Can you just for a moment just pray in the Holy Spirit for just a second? Just a second.